The purpose of education is to prepare youths for a productive life, able to handle reality in its many forms. Some time ago, it was understood how that would take a bit more than just filling kids up with information and knowledge. That led to the creation of what has become known as social emotional learning, SEL for abbreviation. Now, while this curriculum has shown to result in proven benefits for children, it has its detractors who accuse it of, I guess you'd say, being a tool of indoctrination regarding philosophies or issues that they, for whatever reason, disagree with. My first guest today recently wrote an op-ed at NJ.com explaining the importance of social-emotional learning in our schools. She is the director of preschool, the 12th grade strategy with the Newark Trust for Education, Stephanie Berry. How are you today, Stephanie?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, I appreciate you taking the time for helping raise awareness of the issue that, as you listening are going to understand, I think, has multiple benefits. Yes, some people want to either block it, dilute it, or just flat out prevent it. By the way, for the Newark Trust for Education, the website newarktrust.org. I guess the best starting point to Stephanie, what exactly is social emotional learning?
Absolutely. Social emotional learning is really a very simple concept. It is just a set of skills that are necessary for students, young people, and adults alike to succeed in school, work, and life. Really what we're talking about are a simple set of tools such as self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, responsible decision-making, and relationship skills. And all of these skills are things that we need every day to cooperate with others, to learn, and to really have a life that are fulfilling in a society with other people.
And also, just as a point of information, one of the, I guess many consider the leading source of information on SEL, it's called the Collaborative for Academic, Social, and Emotional Learning, CASEL, C-A-S-E-L, for short. They have a, I mean, they broke this down to as simplistic as possible, which is amazing why so many people fail to understand it. It's a little graph. I'll try to describe it as best I can. It's tough doing the visual verbally, but we press on. It just points out self-management, self-awareness, social awareness, relationship skills, responsible decision-making, as Stephanie alluded to. So exactly what could be objectionable to those ideals?
I don't honestly think any of those ideals, if people really understand what they mean and how they're taught in classrooms, could be objectionable. I think what's happening is that there are opponents that are using social emotional learning as a tool to spread misinformation for political gain, and they are somehow conflating concepts like critical race theory and social emotional learning in order to kind of stoke fear about what children are learning in classrooms. And SEL, social emotional learning, has been backed by decades of research and has been taught in schools for some time, and are just, you know, a foundational set of tools for children in order for them to learn and be successful in life. And that's really been uncontroversial and uncontested for many, many years.
We should point out, too, it is the minority who is raising their voices about this because, again, referring back to information from CASEL, they point out, too, that 88%, they had a survey on behalf of the National PTA, 88% of 2,500 parents said they supported teaching all the tenets, the key elements of SEL. You break it down by party affiliation, might be a branding problem, might be the issue, Stephanie. 89% of Democratic parents, 75% of Republican parents agreed that in order for students to reach their full academic potential, their social-emotional needs must be met, but the name, I think, is maybe where the issue is. The favorite alternative name for this policy, this program, this curriculum is life skills. Do you think it's something that simple?
It could be. I think we just live in a very polarized time in which, you know, all topics are up for debate, and some people just take the opportunity to attack certain things for their, like I said before, for their own political gain. Life skills has been used as an alternative for social emotional skills in the past, but as you say, this has really been a an issue that's been supported by parents, by teachers, by school principals, and even across party lines for many years. And I think the other important thing to point out, besides kind of studies and research that have surveyed parents and showed this overwhelming support, is that if you actually talk to teachers, if you talk to people that are in the classroom that have experience working with students, they will tell you, they will give you their testimonials that social emotional learning, or if you want to call it life skills, are really important for children's development. And that if you have a child that enters the classroom without those skills, they're just not going to be able to learn as well as they should be learning. So this is really, you know, at the Trust, we've been working with schools for the past 5 years, dozens of schools in Newark, and talking to lots of teachers. And it's, you know, parents as well instinctively know that these are the things that students need to really succeed. And, you know, the branding issue, it could be a branding issue, but I really think it's just an opportunity for certain, you know, small percentage of the population to kind of attack something that they feel is going to stoke fear in the minds of parents.
Unfortunately, those are the people who more typically show up at the school board meetings. We're talking with Stephanie Perry, who is the director of preschool 12th grade strategy with the Newark Trust for Education. NewarkTrust.org is their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Do you know how widespread the inclusion of SEL curriculum is in New Jersey schools?
I mean, I don't have the exact numbers, but I think that it's supported in most school districts. I think it comes down to whether there's funding or whether they have the people in place or the, you know, supports in place to implement different programs or curricula. I know that the New Jersey Department of Education is highly supportive of social emotional learning. They have some competencies on their website, and I know that they're in the process of developing SEL competencies by grade level across the state. So it is something that is very much supported in the ecosystem in you know, at the state level and various districts.
With that support being what it is, would it be a good idea to make that a school curriculum mandate, or just because of the volume of the few voices, would that be a better idea left for another time until better understanding across the board is achieved?
I mean, I think that having I wouldn't say a curriculum mandate, because there are many different ways of approaching SEL, and I think that that's where it gets a bit complicated, and I think that's where parent voice and student voice becomes really important, and make sure that it's tailored to the community and make sure that people kind of agree with the way that SEL is being taught in a particular school. But I do think that there should be broad standards at the state level that demonstrate what skills and what competencies at what age are appropriate and that are proven to boost academic success.
Some of the misconceptions about SEL, it's if it wasn't so negative, it would be laughable. I mean, I've heard people claim that it encourages a young boy, if he wants to identify as a girl, that will teach him how to do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, it's ridiculous, as you say. The fact is, social emotional skills promote empathy and understanding. They are, you know, a person with good social emotional skills is an active listener, is able to take the perspective of somebody that's different from them. That would be the closest thing I would say, you know, somebody could object to, but I don't think in a diverse democratic society we could ever really object to that on a broad level. And so, you know, taking something as simple as a young person being able to understand the perspective of another young person who may be different from them, and conflating that with promoting gender identity is just, I think, inaccurate, and I think it's just a way to divide people even further.
And certainly in this time where we see the percentage, the number of hate crimes from anti-Semitism to racism to gay bashing, attacking on alternative lifestyles on the rise, report after report after report, if we can ingrain these ideals in more and more younger minds, obviously not sooner versus later, but sooner than without, we would certainly see changes in those trends.
Absolutely, and this is something we all need to learn as adults as well, is how do we interact with each other in respectful ways in a society that we, you know, we hold dearly as an American ideal of a diverse and multicultural society. You know, getting along with one another, being, you know, collaborative. And I think another thing I just wanted to point out that is often missing from the conversation is the way in which these skills help people in the workplace. And, you know, these are all traits that leaders and good employees have. People that lead with empathy, people that know how to collaborate and cooperate. And so when we are teaching social-emotional skills in schools, we're also preparing students to have a successful career.
What is the newer Trust for Education doing to help in better promoting and creating a better, more clear and more precise understanding of social-emotional learning?
We are promoting the practices that have been proven to be effective by working directly with schools. And so when we think about social emotional learning, it's not a program, right? It's not a program that you just kind of plop into a school. It is sort of a way of creating a safe and supportive learning environment in which all students can maximize their learning. And so we work with schools to help them create those, support them in their process of creating those safe and supportive learning environments through funding and coaching and helping them get professional development. But we're also working at the advocacy and policy level. So we have a state work group right now with SEL4NJ, which is an affiliate of SEL4US. And that work group is really working on understanding the relationship between outside providers and schools and how they can work together using the expertise of mental health experts and mentoring programs and all of these other SEL-related services and how they can work together to really make sure they're maximizing the outcomes for students.
So for you listening, it really comes down to this question. Do we cast aside because of the voices of a few that just happen to be louder, a chance to build a better foundation for our younger people to go into the real world, as we like to call it? Sometimes reality is a concept, but it's just that simple. It's better preparing the youth of tomorrow to be able to have a stronger, more stable, and more beneficial and productive tomorrow. That's really, if you want to get down to it, social-emotional learning is all about. Learn more about the Newark Trust for Education, the work that they do on this and other issues, newarktrust.org. She is the Director of Preschool to 12th Grade Strategy with the Newark Trust for Education, Stephanie Perry. Stephanie, thank you for helping, I believe, a lot of people better understand what social-emotional learning is truly all about. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.